everyone. You're listening to Conversations from a Room. I'm Christian Lugo, your host, and we're live from Los Angeles, California. This is episode 2, let's just say that. And I have two wonderful people that mean a lot to me. This is Shalimar and Chris. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
So.
Play your piano.
So I want to try to
introduce that so funny
because I didn't know I was having my dad here. So Chris is referring to my keyboard Casio from 1992.
Have you had that since 1992?
Yeah, if you can see, if you turn around here, I have my name. I wrote this back in the 90s. That's why it's so faded.
Christian with K, huh?
Christian with a K. You didn't know that this whole time we've known each other. You didn't know.
You did know that because when we texted him,
it's,
I texted him.
It's actually European.
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay. Since when did he get all sassy?
That's how he is. He's sassy.
Is it a certain time of the day?
Yeah.
Is he like?
He might be a little sleepy.
Is he like sassy werewolf?
He might be.
I'm sleepy, but I'm.
By the
he
time
might be a little sleepy.
By the time that. What
the
time do you usually go to bed?
Messed me up.
The chickpeas.
The chickpeas you gave.
What, they give you gas?
So.
I don't know, the chickpeas messed you up. Why do you think the chickpeas messed you up?
I don't know. First time I ate.
All right, well, try to speak a little louder so the mic gets you.
Okay, keep going. Come on.
Oh my.
Like, to make fun of this guy, huh? You believe that? Making fun of him. Like, I'm just joking, guys. Come on.
Okay.
I think he's nervous because we're recording. So far, this has to be the worst.
Play your 1992 keyboard.
All right, so I wanted to use this as an introduction to the show, but I haven't come up with a intro yet. If I do, I'll just edit it in the beginning. But I have a song for you guys. I'll play that.
Okay.
Let's see. You guys are going to be slow rock. All right. Number 11. Here we go. Well, that's the last time we ever experiment with sounds. All right, so I think Chris is gonna go to the restroom.
Nah, I'm
gonna
go.
Oh.
Go.
I'm here.
There.
It's okay.
He's gonna.
He's
in the corner right now, so he can have some flatulence. So basically, I just want to talk to you guys about who you are, what you do, and we don't have to get too deep. But So Shalimar, how do we know each other?
We know each other from college,
yeah.
New World School of the Arts.
We went to New World School of the Arts down in Miami, Florida, where we studied theater. And that's kind of how I sort of was starting to do acting. I feel like that's how I really got serious with it. And then what about you?
Did I get serious with it from college?
Or yeah.
I want to say high school, because I went to, it wasn't a magnet high school, but Miami Springs was really big.
Mm-hmm.
The drama department was really big.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think I really, really got involved.
Yeah, I feel like back in Miami, it wasn't, like, theater wasn't huge, but if you were in, like, the drama program in your school, it was, like, the most important thing to you.
If you were in the right school, because,
yeah.
I mean, I've been to 3 high schools,
mm-hmm.
and I've went to some schools where it was, like,
mm-hmm.
shits and giggles. It
mm-hmm.
was a bunch of bull. But Miami Springs was very serious, like, in all of the competitions.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, we were, too.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to state?
Yep.
Yeah, that was the best. I feel like that's when life got real, man. And every time we went to, like, state competitions. Do you guys stay at, like, at hotels and all that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wasn't that the best?
Yeah.
Oh, God, those days were, like.
And we only had, like, one chaperone.
It was, like, that was. And she didn't even go to the school. She was, like, someone's mom.
It was a drama teacher.
But I remember those days, like, oh, man, like, that's when you really started to become, like, who you were as, like, I felt like, not an adult, but that's when you really started to explore, like, your, like, personality. Like, you just became like, I don't know. Like, I remember I became, like, more, I guess, comically in tune because I was, like, goofing around with my friends and we were joking around all the time. And that's when, like, it's basically, like, imagine, like, a three-day sleepover with no parental vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. And you were in a hotel. It was your first time with a hotel with your friends. And you were just going apeshit.
I think I actually explored my personality after I left New World. Mm-hmm. I dropped out of New World, FYI.
Oh, yeah.
But,
everyone dropped out of New World. So,
no.
I would say, I would
Matthew.
Say, this, I, no way.
Who else dropped out?
Got
kicked out.
Oh, okay.
No. He stopped coming.
I don't want
to
name drop.
I'm going
to have to bleep that out.
Oh yeah. Okay. Some guy, he dropped out.
Thanks.
But then he came back and yes. And they were like, what the fuck? No, you can't come back.
So anyways, yeah, New World was cool. New World was cool. What about you, Chris? What was your... Did you go to high school in the States or did you go to high school in Greece? Yeah. Chris is watching videos right now. Wait, are you trying to watch The Sopranos?
Sopranos?
No, I'm not.
Wait, come here. You got to sit next
Chris.
To us. You got to be involved in...
Passing gas.
He's passing gas.
He got to end that.
I want to learn more about you and your life in Greece.
Let me know.
Chris, stop.
Tell me. No. Ask me about it. What you want? Tell me.
Is it that time
ask
of the
me.
Day?
I know he's sleepy. I can look at his face.
Okay, you can ask me. Ask me what you wanna know about.
Where did you go to high school?
I go to technical high school. About a car engineer.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years.
Where?
In Messalonghi.
Mm-hmm.
Greece, Messalonghi. And once I finish, I start working. After 3 days, I finish my school.
You had a job?
After 3 days of school, you...
No, after 3 days, I finish my school,
after
I start working.
Oh, I see.
But you
I see.
Guys don't have, like...
In buses and trucks.
Do you guys have, like, graduations? Like, how it is in America?
Kind of. Like, for the people that are, like, the best students.
So did you have graduation?
Wait a second. You only had
not
graduation...
For me, like,
you only had graduation for the best students?
The best students.
So
what
you
about...
wasn't a best student.
What about if you finished school and you weren't one of the best
Nothing.
Students?
You just passed. That's it. You passed.
That's wait a second,
terrible.
Are you serious?
Just copy about it, that's all. You don't need nothing else.
What are they? They didn't even give you, like, a diploma?
Yes, I don't remember. Yeah, I got one diploma. That's
but
all.
They don't do, like, a ceremony.
No.
Wow.
We have a ceremony, like, for the best students, that's all.
And you guys don't have prom, either.
No, not either that.
I mean, Chris didn't know what those things were until he...
I saw in the movies and stuff.
you live vicariously through the movies. I only know prom because of High School Musical, not because of my own school.
Oh, my
that's,
gosh.
That's cool, man. So, what was your first job in Greece?
I was, like, working at a garage with buses and trucks. Diesel.
Wow. You're basically the coolest. You're the cool guy in every film. He works at the.
Yeah.
He leaves school and works at a car shop. Yeah.
With his leather jacket on.
Exactly.
I worked about 2 years after I went to the army, and actually I left work because one guy pissed me off.
You quit your job because the guy.
I quit my job. I just left. I was like.
Was that the army?
No. At the garage.
The garage. Okay.
The guy pissed
the gay
me
wrench.
Off. I said, like, go pick it up by yourself. I kind of tool. And I just left.
Were you a troublemaker as a kid or as a young
no.
one?
No, not really.
Not really?
Not really.
You just didn't like people with bad attitudes?
Yeah.
What was some of the stuff you worked on at the garage?
Change transmission, engines.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change the tires, the brakes.
So how did you transition into mechanics and into becoming an artist?
I don't know.
How did you discover that, essentially?
Little by little, I started working in...
Mm-hmm.
What artist?
I thought you said you were an artist.
Oh, painter.
No, painter.
Yeah, painter, yeah.
In the apartments.
And paint, like, construction.
Oh.
See, this whole time, I thought Chris was an artist.
Well, I'm an artist.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say
I'm an artist.
Yeah. You're an artist. You're an artist to home improvement. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it takes skill.
I don't know. I started working, like,
when you moved to America.
Yeah, welcome to America. The second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2.
So I want to talk about you guys and your relationship. You guys just got married.
Yeah.
How long you guys been married now for?
6 months.
6 months.
And
6 months
and 18
and
hours.
6 months and 8 days.
And how would you guys describe your relationship in one word?
Chaos.
Chaos.
Chaos?
I think I would say 95% of the time any relationship would be chaos.
But you would describe our relationship as chaos?
Just a joke, Sometimes it is. Why?
Well, sometimes, but if I had to name our relationship, I would say chaos. I honestly
would probably also say chaos. Because you know what, man? Honestly, I think what builds a relationship is chaos. I mean, I don't want to say chaos, but I mean, you kind of have to break down in order to build. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what causes chaos in relationships is because what people don't realize when you're in a relationship, not only are you, once you decide to join in with someone, I mean, especially like live or marriage, things like that. Not only are you working on yourself, now you've made a commitment to work on each other.
Yeah, you have. That's, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's not just you anymore. That's the hardest part.
And that's a big thing because not only am I working on my shit, now I got to work on our shit. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it causes chaos.
You were telling me that a lot of... Oh, what's up? What do you need? No. Oh, he needs water.
No, give me the cap.
The cap.
Oh, shit.
You were saying how a lot of things that you've changed in your life, you've changed because of Chris. Like, oh, you never thought about having kids, or you never thought about doing so and so. And, you know, as soon as Chris came in your life, that's kind of brought it into it in perspective. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. And, you know, actually, I was thinking about this recently, and I was wondering, like, well, because you're hot?
Chris,
you are so high maintenance.
I had to turn off the air and the fan in order to do this podcast.
Are so high maintenance.
And now Chris is freaking out.
Oh my gosh.
He said
chill,
this
chill.
And to make it matters worse.
No, talk.
To make matters worse, he's probably still farting.
So no, just, if he was farting, we would know.
With your microphone.
But actually, so recently I was just thinking about this, and I was wondering, had I not met Chris, would I become the woman who I am today?
Yeah.
And I kind of think so, but I think maybe it would have took me longer to
You know, butterfly effect, you know, I think everything happens... for a reason, you know. Everything is like a snowball effect, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, you would be the same person, but you're not the same person you are today because, or you're not essentially exactly the same because of, you know, who your partner is. And it's a huge commitment because I worry about that all the time. Like, am I
like
gonna change? I always figure like I'm a very like what if type of person. I constantly think of, what if I would have done it this way? What if I would have done it that way? And I think that's the worst way to live because we need to live in a manner of this
being
is
present.
Exactly. This is who I am now. This is every moment is happening little by little. You need to be able to live your best moment, you know, and whatever comes, you know, whatever punch you get, you know, you roll by the punches. That old saying. But let's talk about occupations. Shalimar, what is it that you do?
I'm a birth doula and a yoga instructor.
See, I thought a birth doula was someone who...
Deliver the baby,
but...
That's a midwife or an OBGYN.
I thought it was specifically also at someone's home. You know what I mean? I didn't know it was at... But I've just recently learned that a doula is someone who... is emotional support, correct? Is that the best way to describe
emotional,
it?
Emotional, we give support by providing emotional support, comfort support, physical support, or also we provide information. So people usually book me, maybe let's say the second trimester, and we meet 2 times before they give birth.
So do they interview
doulas?
Well,
we do an interview, so technically 3. If you want to include the interview.
Mm-hmm.
First, they interview me. And some people do it by phone. Some people do it in person. Most people do it in person.
In person, yeah.
So. And after that, if you decide to book me, we have 2 prenatal visits. Mm-hmm. And then I go to your birth when you're ready for me.
And do you ever get nervous that, you know, these women are dealing with such a, like, such a heavy part of their life? You know, this is such a you basically
it's a very intimate moment. Yeah, exactly. For sure.
And it's such a sensitive time of their lives. Do you ever get nervous that, you know, that you're not, or not, I don't want to say not, but that you're giving them everything you can, or do you feel like you know, you know how you're pretty confident about your job?
So I still get a little nervous. Mm-hmm. Not like how I used to be. In the beginning, I used to get extremely nervous, and I would think like, oh, maybe I did the wrong thing. Maybe this wasn't, I shouldn't have done this. But my third birth, so I've been to 30 births now, mm-hmm. and my third birth, she actually had extremely fast labor, and I made it to her apartment at 2:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. She had her baby at 2:35.
Wow.
We were supposed to go to the hospital, but I literally arrived to her apartment and I see her. She was in the tub. She's contracting. And I looked at her, and the way she's contracting, I knew it was time to go to the hospital. I knew it was close. And so I said, okay, get up. We have to go to the hospital. And then she looks at me and she says, I can't. The baby head is out. And I look down, and sure enough, it's like her baby head was like,
wow.
Staring at me. And I was, in my head, I was freaking out. I'm like, my training didn't prepare me for this.
But you know, but in person, internally, like, you need to be able to be strong.
I have to be strong for her and her
that
husband.
That has to be really hard, man. I mean,
my gosh.
Like, you know, as a person, when you're with someone who's dealing with a lot of, like, not trauma, but with a lot of stress, you think, okay, I need to be the one who kind of holds the you know, steady ground. But not only that, but it's your job. I mean, it's like, that is literally your job to do that. You know, it's gotta be tough.
And some people do have trauma. You know, I deal with some people. Some people are having babies who've been sexually abused, or there are some mm-hmm. people who may have problems with their partners, may not have a partner. Mm-hmm. You never know. There are definitely people with trauma during this time, and you have to work through that.
Yeah, for sure.
To try and help them have a good
I think
birth.
That's so important to, you know, they're not just having a baby, they're bringing someone into their lives.
Yeah.
A life that they're already dealing with so-and-so, A and B and C, and you have to take that in consideration.
Totally.
Is there any, besides the quick birth, is there any other situation where it's been really difficult for you, or?
Yeah, I definitely have had some difficult births. I want to say maybe sometimes when you have the single mothers, those can be very difficult because, especially if they don't have any family or no one's there. Like, I live in mm-hmm. New York, and a lot of people don't have family in New York.
Yeah, it's a very...
It's a place like, you know, you
it's
move...
It's a very independent city.
It's 100%. Yeah. So, like, if they don't have family, sometimes that's difficult because then that means that I am their only support at that birth. So it is me 100%. Versus if they have a partner or if their mother there, if there's a friend, I can maybe even just step outside for 10 minutes to mm-hmm. take a breath. But if it's just me... I'm stuck. I'm with them, and I am their full support.
And what's your relationship like with these women after their birth? Like, after...
It depends. I have some clients who I'm super close with. Like, even Chris. Chris is my husband, by the way. Even Chris and I, we've been to dinner at one of my clients' house after mm-hmm. they've had their baby. Mm-hmm. Some, we talk all the time. I follow them on Instagram. And there's some who, after they give birth, I do a postpartum visit. We maybe talk a week or two after that, and then there's no more. Mm-hmm. My door is always open, though.
That's great.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, because they've had such an intimate experience with you. Why end it after the birth, you know?
Yeah. Some people you do become like family. And some people is more like a job. I will say that. It really just depends on the people and who you connect with.
So I knew you in college because of acting.
Yeah.
I would have never thought you would become a doula.
No, I don't.
How did that happen?
I want to say maybe through yoga.
Yoga opens a lot of doors, you know?
I've
tried yoga a bunch of times. I can't really get into it. Chris, what do you think about yoga?
It's good.
Okay. So.
Oh my god.
Sorry. What about, what do you think about yoga?
He just said that he can't get into
I'm
it.
I'm not a fan of it.
I love yoga. Honestly, I think that if it wasn't for yoga, I really don't know where. I don't think that I would be in this relationship with Chris. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would be a doula. I don't think that I would have a lot of things
so
that I have.
So you think yoga really opened up worlds for you?
It did. It wow. really, because before, so I've always practiced yoga in Miami. I started practicing while I was at New World. Uh-huh. And, but like, you know, just doing some, just doing shit.
As a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I lost my job in Miami and I just kind of had nothing to do, mm-hmm. I started practicing it all the time. And it kind of builds your confidence and mm-hmm. it kind of built my relationship with myself versus before I kind of used to be in these bad relationships mm-hmm. or really letting people take advantage of me and not knowing my self-worth. Yeah. And I think during yoga, I started gaining that for myself, my self-worth. And it made me realize when Chris came along, I tell people all the time, I didn't like Chris when I first met him, but it made me sit and think like, so you've been doing something the opposite way for a very long time and dating a certain type of guy for a really long time, and it has not been working. Maybe you should give this guy a chance.
I do feel like you are much more grounded and mature person since last
time. I mean, but you knew me when I was like
college.
In college,
you're not really a person.
Exactly.
You're basically just a shell.
You're trying to figure it out.
With questions all inside of you.
I mean, like 18. When mm-hmm. we met, I was 18. Mm-hmm. You're really trying to figure it out. So, what? I'm 26 now. Mm-hmm. That was a while ago.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to Chris. Thank you, Shala. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
So what was your transition from Greece to the States like? Was it hard for you?
It was really hard. I was supposed to come here and visit and see how is the situation. And with the help of my mother talking on the phone about how is the situation back in Greece, mm-hmm. she made me think, rethink about staying permanently. Mm-hmm. And I stayed. The first 2 years, it was a year and a half. It was really hard. I had nobody here, and little by little I met some friends. I met my wife after four years almost.
You've been here for 6 years?
Yeah, I met my wife after 4 years.
Wow.
What else to say?
Do you think that, we were talking about this earlier, you know, I when I moved to LA, I mean, I still don't really have a lot of close friends, but do you think it's hard for you to, like, keep going forward in the city because it's, you know, you don't have your family, you don't have your friends, or have you found sort of your home? Because I remember you saying you love New York City now, right?
Yeah, I do.
So you've made it your home, technically?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
You always say that before you met me, you were thinking about moving to Greece. Mm-hmm. You were thinking about going back home.
Yeah.
Until you met me and you were like, oh.
I think that changes. I think being in a relationship really, really sort of solidifies your life decisions, you know? And I think the same thing with me. When I met Rachel, a lot of my friends were telling me if you ever thought about moving back to Miami or to New York. And I said, well, there's no way I could because, you know, I'm with Rachel now. We're committed in this relationship. You know, you don't want to screw up a good relationship because that's essentially is your next step in life. You know what I mean? So you want to you want to be as serious as you can about that. And you want to be able to, you know, make your home is, you know, like they say, home is where the heart is. You know, you make do, you know, so.
I agree.
Yeah.
But do you think that we should be making decisions based off of our relationships or should we be making decisions based off of what we personally feel like we need or want in this life? I'm talking to both of you. Yeah. I'm curious to know your perspective.
I think it's both. I think you should be able to, I think first,
follow your heart.
I think first follow your heart. Mm-hmm. I think your sort of internal
intuition.
That's always going to be number one because, you know, even if you're not a selfish person, and not saying you should be, not saying that this is selfish, but I think at the end of the day, the most important person is you.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think you think about what you want, and you kind of look at that map, and then you say, okay, where does my partner fit into this? Where does they? Because if they're not going to go in the same path as you are, then it should, then yeah, that partner isn't, you know, always going to be the most supportive person. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to do what they also want to do. You have to, I think, commitment. I'm sorry, not commitment. Let me say that word again. What's the word when you need to
meet? Compromise.
Compromise. Compromise, compromise, compromise is the most important word. Even in a relationship, in family, in business, compromise is the most important thing you do. It's not all about you. It's Chris right now is pointing to Shalimar.
Am I don't compromise?
Yeah, sometimes to compromise and you don't want to.
But I also just think that also, what is your definition of compromising? We all have different definitions of it. Because, so I know this is a big thing that Chris and I battle with in our relationship, is I like to sleep with a fan literally right in my face. And it's...
Do you have a personal fan?
It's a fan at home and it's I like to call it the project fan. It's like the ghetto fan to me. But I love it because I love the noise. Like, it's a specific fan that I like.
The specific noise.
It's the white noise.
It's like white noise. Yeah, it usually puts you to sleep. Yeah, yeah.
And it's comforting for me. And so, if it wasn't for Chris, I would literally sleep with it this close to my face.
Just right next to your face, yeah.
Right on the nightstand. But Chris hates it, and Chris makes me put it on the floor.
Okay, so what's your compromise?
So this is what he tells me. He's like, yeah. He's like, you have to compromise sometimes and turn off the fan. I say, no, I am compromising by putting the fan on the floor. Yeah. That is my compromise.
We used to have it one time on, one time off. So that's compromise for me.
You guys would take turns. Okay, it's Wednesday night.
Yeah,
the fan turns
talk,
off. But by tomorrow, the fan is mine. Wow.
Well, there's certain things that's really hard.
So
for
yeah,
me to
what
compromise.
Do you do stuff like if you know that you need to get a good night's sleep?
And that's a hard thing for me to compromise.
And he does not want the fan on. What's the next best solution?
I put it on the floor. And one, I know Chris' personality, and I'm not gonna lie. I think it's also New York culture. I think that Chris just likes chaos.
Really quick update. I'm so sorry. So the Golden State Warriors have won the NBA Finals. This was the last game.
Were you rooting for them?
You know, to be honest, I think I was kind of rooting for... I'm a Cavs fan. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a Cavs fan.
Okay.
I like
it's
LeBron.
Nothing to be sorry about.
Yeah, I like LeBron. You know, coming from Florida, coming from Miami, LeBron played with us for 4 years, and
yeah.
He won us... He won... Oh,
you broke it,
man. I'm sorry. I just broke
God
his phone.
God damn you.
He won us two rings. You know what I mean? So he
it was three.
No, he won two. We played for 4 years. They lost the first, won the two in the middle, and lost
okay,
the last.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So I like LeBron. I like Kevin Love. I like J.R. Smith, as you know, whether he has his faults here and there. But they all do. I mean, I like, you know, I like the Warriors, but I kind of like the Cavs. I'm kind of a Cavs fan, you
okay.
know. I can't, you know.
No shame.
But yeah, Warriors won. But so back to compromise, which is very important in a relationship, yeah.
What do you feel like you are compromising in your relationship? Like, do you have an example of something you guys are doing well at compromising?
It's usually just little stuff, you know. But sometimes little stuff is big enough to
become big shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think compromise, I think it's letting go of your ego.
Oh, 100%.
I think that's it. I think you just got to put your ego aside and sometimes realize that you're not the most important person.
Oh, it's hot.
Here, let's turn the fan on. Mm-hmm. Let's turn the fan on.
Okay. I told you to take your shower.
Here.
Are you that hot?
Can you click the middle string? That's wrong.
So
wrong.
High maintenance.
There you go. There you go. We're going to turn the fan on, guys. So it'll be a little humming. But but yeah.
But compromise. If we were going to sleep,
but
he
see,
would
compromise.
Be like, turn all that
I,
shit off.
I don't care if we have a little sound so that he can be, you know, more comfortable. I'm fine with that. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, we're all happy. We're all happy. It's fine. But all right. So we're about 30 minutes in. Let's just talk about nonsense right now.
Okay.
Let's talk about I love movies right now. Let's get plain and simple. What's your favorite movie right now, or a movie recently, or anything that it can be a shitty movie, something that you've watched recently that you want to talk about? Any movie? Does that have to be a big movie that changed your life? Or it could be. It could be like the last movie you saw on Netflix. I was like, yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
I can't think of like.
Do you watch a lot of movies?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But I can't think of a recent movie.
Or just your favorite movie.
I would say my two all-time favorite movies that I think made me want to become an actress is Forrest Gump.
Oh, yes!
I love
Best Forrest movie Gump. Ever.
I love...
Robert Zemeckis, Tom Hanks.
I real talk, when I was maybe about 7 years old, my cousin Anthony was playing video games. It was late at night, and I was bored. And I went into
what
his
year?
Room.
If you can put a year on it,
I mean, I was probably about 7 years old, so this had to
like
be 1998. It had to be like 1998. And I went into his room, and
he was watching porn.
No, he was playing video games, and I literally swear to God, I performed the whole Forrest Gump from him. I mean, for him.
But and like a 5 minute...
I was... No. I mean, this was...
2.5 hours of Forrest Gump?
And I played every...
You played every
character? And he had a bump
Shala,
bed.
Shala, I would give a left nut to be in that room.
Yo, real talk. And he had a bunk bed, so... the part when he's on the shrimping boat, I used the bunk bed for the shrimping boat. I'm telling you, if you ask my cousin, he will talk about
this.
You're
kidding me.
I did every voice, even from the beginning when he's in the doctor.
What's your favorite line from that movie?
On his
braces on his legs.
Yeah, like, I love that fucking
okay,
movie.
Okay. Three questions. What's your favorite line from the movie?
Favorite line from the movie. I think now that as I've gotten older and I watch it now, I love when Forrest looks at Bubba and he goes,
oh.
Hi, Forrest. I mean, he goes, hi, Bubba.
Yeah, hi,
and he's
Forrest.
Like, hi, Forrest.
And they he's dying in his
arms.
Yeah,
and
he
just say, I want to go home. And
oh,
I'm just like,
God.
It gets like, oh.
That is the, like that, though.
It
that
gets me every time.
One of the best films of all time.
What?
Really one of the best films
it
of
really
all time.
It really is. It really is. All right,
best favorite character. I mean, obviously, Forrest. Yeah.
I mean, because to me, the thing that I love about Forrest Gump was this was a man who had mental disabilities, and he accomplished so much in his life.
I may be dumb, but I know what love is.
Oh, yeah. Like he accomplished so much in his life. And he was the underdog. And I think growing up, I felt like an underdog. And I didn't realize these things when I was watching it as a kid. But now that I'm older, I think that's why I liked it. I think I felt like an underdog. People made me feel that way.
Yeah, I think the message of the movie is not so much as like the underdog always wins, but it's that a person with such an open mind and such a kind heart.
So compassionate.
It can go so much further.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't one trying to be the winner.
No.
He was just trying to be there.
Absolutely not.
He
was just so compassionate, and he didn't have all the vices that we have, the people who we say are like mentally there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I love that movie. And then my second movie that
I just cannot stop thinking about you performing the entire movie.
I can call Anthony right now.
But how long did it last?
It was hours, because I think we probably went to bed like 3 a.m.
How did you remember the movie so well?
I love that movie.
That's so funny.
I'm telling you,
you
I know.
You walked into his room, and you just started to be like, so a feather starts to fall from the sky. We're sitting in Savannah, Georgia, on a park bench, waiting for the bus, holding a box of chocolates. Forrest Gump is wearing torn shoes that he's worn. They say a lot of people can tell. Yeah,
I just did like the scenes.
Oh.
Like,
you didn't narrate it.
No, I didn't narrate it. I was literally just doing the scenes. And I don't think I started. I think like I was asking him to play with me. Like, will he play with me? Whatever. Like, I'm bothering him and bugging him. And he wouldn't. And I think I just started just doing fucking Forrest Gump.
That's hilarious.
And I started going so long that he did. He stopped playing his video games and he just watched
me. Oh, so you wouldn't even care if he was...
First, he wasn't even watching me. No, first, he was not even paying me no attention. And then he stopped and he just started watching me. And it's like one of our favorite memories together that I did that.
That's wonderful. What's your cousin's name?
Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. Thank you for being a supportive audience. All right, what's the second film?
Second is, I don't know if you've seen this one, but second is What's Love Got to Do with It. It's the movie about Tina Turner's life. Yeah, it's about Tina Turner's life. And with Angela Bassett and Lawrence Fishburne. And
I thought The Security Guard was the movie about her life.
That's Whitney Houston. Don't you ever mix up Tina Turner and Whitney Houston.
Oh, my God.
I will chop you in the neck.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
For the Chris. I don't smell anything.
I do.
But I can only imagine that the smell is as bad as how much I disappointed you right now.
Yeah, you did. You did. You did. Because I love me some Tina.
Tina, yeah.
I mean, I like Whitney Houston, but I love Tina. Yeah. Love, love, love Tina. So
no, I can't believe it. I'm so sorry I mixed those up.
It's all right.
That's an insult.
That is an insult. Oh, but we'll let that pass today. All right.
I'm going to have to edit that.
Totally different singers. I mean, they're just totally different. Tina's more rock.
Both good, right?
Both good, but Tina's rock. She's rock, and mm-hmm. Whitney Houston is R&B and pop music.
Yeah, yeah.
But her movie about her life with Angela Bassett and Lawrence Fishburne.
Ugh. What's Love Got to Give?
What's Love Got to Do with It?
It.
I'm going to kick your ass. We need to watch it. We need to watch
it. I love how I was so into Forrest Gump, a movie about a white man. I'm all about it.
And then I'm saying a movie about a black woman, and you're like, Whitney Houston? Bodyguard.
I'm terrible.
God damn
I'm
you.
Terrible. I'm
you
sorry.
Watch What's Love Got to Do with It. It was even nominated for an Oscar. It was a really good movie back then.
Yeah. Well.
It came out like in 1995, maybe.
I'm sure it would have won the Oscar if it weren't 1995. There were sticklers back then.
She always said that she felt like she was snubbed for that.
Yeah, man. Fucking it's time's up, dude.
Watch it.
I know that's a different
thing, a different
but
campaign.
Still, I'm saying it's I think time's up for everything.
Okay. Should be a fair thing. Fair enough.
Chris, favorite movie.
Well, two. I can say two or one.
No, you can say one. You can say as many as you want, but right, we can.
What are your
What's your favorite movie right now, or just in general, or any movie that you want to talk about? It can be a bad movie.
Okay, no. It doesn't
have to be like a legend.
Okay, mm-hmm. I really like. Sometimes when I'm bored, I really like to watch Taxi Driver with.
Oh
Robert
man,
De Niro.
I haven't seen Taxi Driver.
I've never seen
it. I hear it's a great movie.
I love it. It's a really good movie, classic.
Yeah. Classic, yeah. I hear it's a phenomenal. It's one of those like top 10 best movies of all time.
Never seen it either.
Yeah. What do you like about it so much?
It's about a taxi driver. He can't sleep and he just wanna get a job and mm-hmm. he just starting like a taxi driver and mm-hmm. just drive everywhere, like Harlem, Bronx, and he doesn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
He pick up any kind of people, pimps. Also, one time he pick up a guy, he wants to kill his wife. And he just wait there, looking his wife cheating with another guy from mm-hmm. the window.
Mm-hmm.
Is
there a lot of, does Danny DeVito have a lot of dialogue in that movie? Or is it mostly just like physical?
It's not that much, actually.
Yeah, it seems like one of those movies where it's him just acting most of the time. There's not really a lot of dialogue, huh? I like those are my favorite type of movies.
You like movies like that, yeah, Chris.
Yeah. You know what you should see? There's a new movie that just came out called You Were Never Really Here.
Oh, I hear
it's a
about
movie
that.
With Joaquin Phoenix. It's supposed to be like the modern day Taxi Driver. But it's similar to that.
I watched it.
Oh, it's great. It's really
it?
Good.
It was,
you said you watched it. Oh, they said how was
it?
You watched it?
Yeah, it was but he
really dark?
He don't talk too much. That's what I don't like.
Yeah,
he was talking.
I thought
he
was, you just said that you liked
him. He was talking, but not that so quiet. Right? It wasn't too quiet.
There's a little bit of dialogue, but when there is dialogue, it's hard to follow. All right, so music. Right now, we were talking about
how.
You
say your favorite movie.
Oh well, I mean, I don't have to say it every time. I guess right now. Right now I'm in it's a lot of dark. Sort of films. I watched this movie recently called The Circle. No, I'm not The Circle. I think it's just called Circle. It's a movie on Netflix. It's about... it's a pretty cool movie. It's an experimental film. It starts off with I think it's like 30 people. They wake up on a spacecraft. And they don't know how they got there. They don't know who put them there. I think they just start to assume that it's aliens. And they're basically standing in this circle. And if they move outside of their perimeter, they die. And if they touch the person next to them, they die. And I think it's about every 2 minutes, there's an orb in the middle of the circle that shocks someone in the circle and they die immediately. And so they soon realize that you can vote for the person that you want to die, that wants that you want to die next. So people start to gain an alliance with each other. Some people don't agree. Some people, it basically just pays with like human emotions, human like psychology, and people start voting to kill off certain people. And you know, there's the old folks, there's the pregnant woman, there's the children. They don't know who to kill first. And so it's basically like a process of elimination of who's gonna die, who's gonna live. And they basically come down to the fact that only one person's gonna live. So the whole movie's about like, who's gonna be this one person that we're gonna save? You know, because no one wants to die, but you know, we gotta save someone. You know, someone has to live. And so it's a very like thriller film, and it's all on that one set. It's just they're all in one circle. There's no action. It's just all it's all dialogue, mm-hmm. and it's a very interesting movie. That's like the last movie.
What's the name of it again?
Circle. It's on Netflix. It came out like 3 years ago. It's a very, very independent B film.
Sometimes those are the best.
Yeah, I mean, like the acting's okay. The storyline's really good, but it's just more of like a like what's gonna happen. It's more of an interesting sort of concept. But yeah, it's pretty cool. We were talking about music. How I really feel like music is the best way to express emotion without saying any words. And I think music is very, very important. So I wanted to talk about music. We can do this really quick. What's something you've been listening to lately that's really influenced you, like music-wise?
I don't know. I listen to some of everybody, so mm-hmm. I can't really pinpoint one person.
You are like an every type of person. That's cool.
I can't really pinpoint. But I will say one person who I always consistently go to, and I've seen them live twice, is Florence and the Machine.
Oh, she's great.
She's amazing.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's not bigger. You know, I think she's pretty underrated. I think.
Oh, I guess to me in my world she's huge.
She's probably huge. I guess you're right.
Yeah. I mean, no, maybe she's not. No,
not everyone needs to be the Beatles. You know,
and she doesn't do pop music.
Everyone needs to find their Beatles.
Yeah, right? And the thing is, she doesn't do pop music, and I think that's what makes people get so much recognition.
Well, because today's music is trash. I'm sorry, today's popular music is just. It's just sounds.
Well, everything is really poppy now. Like mm-hmm. that's what's really mm-hmm. making people huge. Mm-hmm. But to me, Florence, in my world, Florence and the Machine is huge. You get what I'm saying?
Instrumentally, she's beautiful. Her voice is great.
Ugh.
She has great lyrics. She has a great message.
And she's so unique. I can't mm-hmm. think of any other music that mm-hmm. I've listened to and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. that sounds like Florence and the Machine.
Florence and the Machine is really good. Favorite song you can think of right now?
Oof. Well,
one that you've been listening to over and over again.
So she has a new album. It hasn't all of it has not dropped, but like iTunes have come out with two of the singles. So I've been listening to her song Hunger right now over and over. And I'm playing it through at my yoga classes.
Any song that's titled Hunger has to be like a drop dead.
Of course.
It's a song called Hunger. It starts off with like a harmonica. It needs to be a good song.
I mean, she always has harmonicas.
So Florence and the Machine, that's a great choice. That's awesome. What about you, Chris? What music are you listening to right now?
Yeah. I do. Actually, I listen like new acoustic music, new songs. I can listen whatever. I don't mind.
Okay. Good.
Except you don't like hardcore rap music.
Yeah, that's what I don't like.
You don't like Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, I like the guy.
Like no, he doesn't like gangster rap.
I don't really like
N.W.A.
Oh, he wouldn't like something mm-hmm. like that. Like what I like to call trap music or gangster rap, he gets really upset.
What about my rap history isn't very strong. I really like Kendrick Lamar. I like him a lot.
You know, I don't listen to him.
Oh, I love Kendrick.
It's surprising to me that I don't listen
to him. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's all personal preference. I just love his damn album. I think, you know, How to Pimp a Butterfly, I got into, you know, I was like, okay, it's cool. It's not what I thought it was going to be. But when Damn came out, I just felt like that album was just speaking from his soul, and it was so artistic, and the lyrics were just so strong and sharp and specific, and just his message was just so empowering, and I just thought that album was great.
That's why I'm surprised that I'm not into it.
Have you listened to Damn?
I have listened to songs, so that's the thing. Like when it comes down to Kendrick Lamar, I definitely have, or J. Cole, who are both at least what people tell me that their messages are mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. Profound and mm-hmm. it's very current.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to their songs and their music, and I like a song, but for some reason, it never makes me want to go back for more. I don't.
That's when you know an album is good. Yeah.
It never pulls me, and I don't know why.
That's when you know it's a hit or miss.
I don't know, because when people describe their music to me, yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then when I listen to it, I like it, but it just doesn't make me like, oh, I want to keep listening to this.
I think songs that aren't very influential or not very empowering, they're just so personal. You know, I listen to some of the songs where I'm like, oh man, this, I feel like this is something that I think about or I feel.
Oh shit, yeah.
You know, so I think his album does a very good job of doing that.
Yeah. Like I was telling you, you know, there's definitely music that can bring you back to a memory. Mm-hmm. Or, mm-hmm, music is very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've also been missing a lot of, classical music lately. I think, Philip Glass is a huge, mm-hmm, huge influencer. And, even John Williams. I love listening to score music.
Like, I don't listen to that much classical music.
But score music is, I wouldn't even, it's classical, but I wouldn't even consider it classical because it's almost like the rock and roll of classical music. Because especially, it depends, like, if you listen to score music from, like, you know, like a big film, it's always just so nice. And it feels, like, empowering and it feels fun to listen to and it's great.
Yeah.
Any books you guys want to discuss? Anything you guys been reading lately that you thought are, that's, you know, kind of influential?
I'm reading a book right now that's really great. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of making me miss acting a little bit.
Really?
I'm not going to lie.
What's the book?
It's a book by, it's by a black actress, but she's not that big of a, I mean, I hate to say it. She's big in her own right, but. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Her name is Jennifer Lawrence, and the book is called...
Jennifer Lawrence? Everyone knows who Jennifer Lawrence is.
Who is Jennifer Lawrence?
Isn't Jennifer Lawrence J-Lo?
Jennifer Lewis. Sorry, Jennifer Lewis. Shit. Sorry.
Hunger Game.
Jennifer Lewis. I'm sorry. Jennifer Lewis. Oh, my bad. Edit that out. Jennifer Lewis, she...
Is that as bad as me mixing up Tina Turner?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's, yeah. Edit that out. Okay. Jennifer Lewis is...
keeping that.
So her book is called The Mother of Black Hollywood because literally in almost every black movie, she is always the mother. Even Tina Turner, she plays Tina Turner mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was her first film.
Oh, wait. She's not the...
She's on the new show Blackish.
Oh, Blackish.
She's the grandma on Blackish.
All right, let's check her out. But go ahead.
Yeah, oh, she's been in like a million movies. Never a leading role, but she's had a huge career in Broadway. And so I'm reading a book about her life and where she also battled mental illness. She's, mm-hmm, bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
She did not know for a really long time
that
she was bipolar. You know, she would have these mood swings and things like that. And she, oh, I mean, she's been in like a million movies, lots of... But she's never been a leading character, is what I...
All right, so just really right off the bat, she plays Mama Odie from Princess and the Frog. So, mm-hmm, yeah, she always plays the mom or, like, the grandmother.
She's always the mom, yeah. So that's why her book is titled, Mother of Black Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was sold out everywhere. Ask Chris. It was so hard for me to get the book. Yeah, I'm really proud of her. The book was mad. Like, couldn't even order it on Amazon. It was sold out everywhere.
Did she say that...
So, first off, she is funny as fuck. Like, if you look at her YouTube videos...
She looks funny.
She is hilarious. And a lot of people actually... Like, my friends in New York who are into the acting scene,
mm-hmm,
a lot of them tell me that I act like her.
Mm.
She's fucking hilarious. And her book, what I love about her book is it's her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
so her many people book, writing books these days too, man.
It doesn't sound like an author. It sounds like her, like literally she'll be talking about something and then she'll go all the way off and be like, fuck that bullshit. Like it's literally her. And it's
I wonder
so
if she wrote
hilarious.
It or if she did like an audio recording and then she just put it onto paper.
I have no idea, but it is so funny. So, I mean, but that book is kind of, because she's talking about her acting. She had a big career in Broadway,
mm-hmm,
and she's talking about the hustle about it. And it is kind of making me a little bit miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's
it's like my roots. It's like going back to my roots.
That passion you had for acting.
Totally.
It's that drive. Yeah, yeah.
But
there's like a high that you get from it. You know?
Totally. And it was really a drug for her for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say two books that really changed my life was, it's this book called The 11 Karmic Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like such a good healing book. I suggest for everyone to
say it one more time.
The 11 Karmic Spaces.
Karmic.
I can't remember the author right now, but it's just it's a book that really helped me through my healing journey and trying to become grounded and trying to heal from past trauma with family and things like that.
That's great.
How to be a more compassionate person.
That's exactly what a book should do.
You have to read it. I suggest everyone to read this book. And then also Maya Angelou, Why the Caged Bird Sing. Both of those books, I would say, changed my life for sure.
Perfect. Thank you so much. What about you? Any books?
No.
No? No books?
No.
A special no. Recent book right now, I'm reading two books. I'm reading Ishmael. It's a adventure.
I saw it in your kitchen.
Yeah, it's the adventure of the mind and spirit. And it's a pretty cool book. It basically talks about human evolution and how we as humans have this sort of entitlement that since we are the alpha, we are the are the ones who control the world. That we don't think any more about Mother Nature. We don't think about the animals. Mm-hmm. We don't think about everything. That the world does not belong to man or woman, per se. It doesn't belong to us.
No.
It belongs to... The world belongs to itself. And so we are taking advantage of it and how we have essentially ruined the world because of man, you know, being selfish and thinking that the world is for himself, but it's not. And another book I'm reading right now is called The Man Who Sold the World, ironically enough, but it's actually about David Bowie and his life in his life in music and his life in his, you know, growing up. And
they have a huge exhibit in Brooklyn.
Oh, David really? Bowie. Well, David Bowie's...
Everyone's
he's
crazy
about
him.
I was asking, who's that guy? He's everywhere.
Oh, he's there. I mean, David Bowie is not even... I mean, he's not even human. He's an alien. He's an alien from another... I mean, he literally created himself as a creature from Mars. Ziggy Stardust, that was his first, I think his first alter character, not alter ego, but his first, like, made-up character. Because he went through stages, I mean, I'm very early in the book, but he went through stages where he created different characters of himself. And Ziggy Stardust is a character from Mars, and he truly is an alien. He's a foreign creature, and we should all respect and listen to David Bowie.
He was married to a black woman, too.
He was married to a black woman. Which is funny, because I'm reading the book that apparently he was also gay. I didn't know that.
Everything.
I could believe it, though.
Everything.
I'm not surprised.
At one point in time, everyone's gay. So, yeah, we're coming to the end right now. Let's see if there's anything I want to touch upon real quick. Pulp culture. Let me see. Anything in pulp culture you guys want to discuss that's been going on in recent whether it's politics, religion...
No.
Anything recently you guys want to talk about that's been affecting your guys' lives?
No, nothing.
I always think about religion for myself.
What, your Christian religion, Catholic?
I am born, I am raised Christian, but as I'm getting older, I'm starting to question
religion. That is a whole millennial thing right now, too. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel like, you know, Rachel,
What were you?
I was raised Catholic, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think today's time, people have kind of put a danter on like the Christian religion. You know, it's starting to look a little bit, you know, in a negative way. I think because it's starting to feel like, you know, a lot of religion is playing too closely to politics, and so we relate like sturdy Republican politics to like a Christian religion, and we get scared from that when it's like, well, does religion believe in you know, pro-life? Yes, you know, apparently they believe in pro-life. I am, for one, I am pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
Certain religions don't believe in gay marriage.
Yeah,
and certain religions don't believe in certain things. And it's like, wait a second. I believe in gay marriage. I believe in pro-choice. I believe in so many different things. Why does a certain religious say make you feel like you can't? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes us worry that it's like, where do we stand? You know, I think you can be a holy person. I think you can believe in a God. I think you can have your religion.
Well, I 100% believe in God.
Now, yeah.
I 100% believe in a higher power. And I do think that there's a difference between being spiritual and religious. And I do not consider myself being a religious person. I do think that religion...
Spiritual is definitely a good way to think of it, you know?
Yeah. I think that me with spiritual, I take my spirituality as it's my personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that people who say, you know, just like you said, God is against gay marriage, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But to me, my personal relationship with God is a loving God.
Mm-hmm.
God
exactly.
is not someone who's like, mm-hmm. you can he come be sit with on you the bus, against but you. You can't. You know, like,
yeah.
to me, that is man.
That is your God, yeah.
That is man who likes mm-hmm. to separate us. And I think that religion is a form to separate. It's almost like race. It's mm-hmm. like race to me. It's a form to say, you are over here and you are there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. And then I also have I have a lot of thoughts about religion. And it goes further
because religion is the oldest thing of all time.
Yeah.
So you can go on for miles. But yeah. I see where you stand, and that's a good way. What about you, Chris? Anything you want to talk about religion at all?
I raised, you said, right?
Yes.
I raised the Greek mm-hmm. Orthodox.
Christian,
yeah. And I believe in God. And I don't go to the church, actually, that much. Maybe
yeah, I don't
once
think anyone
year.
Really does anymore.
But I think church is not about you going to church. I think it's in your heart, you know, what you believe and stuff.
Yeah.
Church is whatever you are to me.
That's actually... spot on. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly how I see
very
it too.
Profound.
Yeah, that's deep, and that's actually right to exactly.
And
how
people
I feel.
That go to church every Sunday, they're not like saint. How you say?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe those people are like bad people. How you call them? And
because we're all human.
And they try to go every Sunday. They try to show you that oh we are saint and we go every day to the church, but. If you're good with you and your heart, that's all matters, you know? You don't have to go to church.
That is very, very true. And I think you can take that to the bank, honestly. Yeah, for sure. We're right at our last minute. Let's end it at a lighter note. I just wanted to ask this question for fun. What's your favorite breakfast food? What's like when you can make your own breakfast or go get your own breakfast, what's like your ideal breakfast food?
Waffles or pancakes and bacon.
Damn, that is like, I think every girl might say that, because Rachel loves waffles
and
pancakes.
I love a good waffle and pancakes.
If you had to choose between waffles and pancakes, what would it be?
They're essentially the same damn thing.
But if there was like, oh, we only have one.
Omelette.
Well, no, she said waffles and pancakes.
I like French toast too. I like all those three.
Okay, if you had to choose, if you had to between French toast, waffles, or pancakes, which one would it be?
Pancakes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Pancakes, yeah.
Because pancakes, it's like, they're like little pillows.
And they're kind of like, it's kind of not very hard to mess them up. But I have been, I've been
oh,
a more
I've had,
of,
I've had,
you have shitty, I feel like I've had more
not shitty,
shitty waffles.
But very doughy. And not doughy, but very like, not like raw.
Flowery.
Raw. I've had raw pancakes. And that was at IHOP.
Okay.
But I had, they were still raw in the middle. And I'm like, no,
ew,
it's
I
gross.
Love IHOP pancakes. The IHOP in Miami
what about,
Springs,
they're
Lord.
Not, they're not IHOP anymore.
They're
IHOP. What the fuck
but
is that?
They're supposed to be serving burgers. So I guess they want to be International
House
of Burgers.
No. Fuck you, IHOP. What the hell are you thinking?
I saw that.
Just put burgers on your menu and call yourself IHOP. The fuck is wrong with you?
I could be wrong, but I saw that. Someone
I thought
it's
because they wanted to be more about
breakfast. But they're already about breakfast.
I thought it was International House of Breakfast,
pancakes.
And I was like, what's the difference? You're still going to serve
pancakes.
Maybe the B is going to be better.
I saw someone put that the B was, it was on social media.
Maybe it's
so going to
be,
I should be
maybe
it's my
maybe.
News
maybe.
On social media.
Breakfast.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's
but
what you're saying, but I saw that someone put the on social media.
What if it's
media,
gonna,
it like
what if
it's
going to be
burgers.
Beer now?
No, breakfast.
House of beer.
All right, so yeah, waffles, pancake, all the good sweets. Let's do Chris first. What's your favorite breakfast food?
I like waffles.
Same as me.
And... my favorite thing to do, my specialty, make omelette, actually.
Yeah, omelettes.
Chris has to have a full breakfast every morning.
Omelette.
Oh, same here. I think a full, large, it doesn't have to be large, but a nice, hearty breakfast in
and
the morning.
Hot, actually. I don't like
you can't have a cold breakfast.
I can't.
Oh, God. Oh no, God. It's the first meal of the day.
What about cereal?
I can't.
To me, cereal is an appetizer for your breakfast.
You can make a meal sometimes.
I like to make my breakfast, and while I'm
cereal?
Making my breakfast, I have a bowl of cereal.
The best
so
part
funny.
To eat cereal is after work to come home.
Chris,
yes.
Okay.
I'm
cereal,
dreaming
to
about
me,
this
cereal
thing.
Is a snack.
But fun fact snack. About Chris. Chris, when he gets home from work, he likes to eat a bowl of cereal with a side of cheese.
I used to eat...
Like
he's prosciutto. One scoop of cereal.
What do you mean, like a cheese stick?
No, like it can be a block of cheese that he'll cut a slice and he'll eat one scoop of cereal and then eat a piece of cheese.
Sweet and savory.
One scoop of cereal. Sweet and savory, yeah.
What's your favorite cereal?
Oh, he's salami and cereal.
I like it.
Dude, the cereal in Greece must be weird. Salamios.
I use.
Come get your salamios.
God damn it.
Special K. What you want, I got? The Special K, I get.
You get Kellogg's, something.
Kellogg's. The corn Kellogg's.
Kellogg's is great. Flakes, you cannot go wrong with Kellogg's, yeah.
Two layers. First, I put a little bit of cereal.
Yeah, yeah.
I add honey, and after second layer, I put cereal again.
Yeah.
Honey, mm-hmm. peanut butter, and sometimes fresh fruit.
Write this down, folks. This is traditional Greek breakfast.
He gets a big spoon. He gets a big spoon of peanut butter, licks a piece off, spit it in a cereal. Licks a piece off.
I'm not spitting.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he licks a piece off.
You spit it in your... What does
I'm
that
not
mean?
Spitting it. I'm sorry. Yes, how the little birds
you don't put it.
How the little birds give food to their kids? Something like that, I'm doing.
His excuse is that, oh, well, the birds give their kids food with the spinach, so I can eat it myself.
But well, tahini. Now, sometimes I use tahini. You know
tahini. Tahini. I know tahini, yeah. That's how you make hummus.
I spit tahini. No, it's not hummus. Tahini is from seaside.
No, I'm saying you use tahini to make hummus.
No, tahini is from the chickpeas. It's different.
Yeah, chickpeas is
tahini
from hummus.
Tahini is from seaside. Mm-hmm. You know what's
sesame?
Sesame, yeah.
Yeah. That's tahini, yeah.
No, the hummus is from the chickpea. What are you making?
Have you ever made homemade hummus?
No.
When you make hummus, you mix chickpeas with tahini, and that's what makes the hummus. Yeah.
I thought you used your own chickpeas.
No, well, you do use chickpeas, but you have to mix it with hummus.
More ingredient.
Yeah.
Kill me with this chickpeas.
Okay, so what's your favorite?
My ideal breakfast, my favorite breakfast would be scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
With a side of veggie sausage, because I'm a vegetarian. My favorite veggie sausage would probably be field roast, a breakfast sausage. And sourdough toast with some butter on it. Yeah. Cool. Good old American boy breakfast.
Now, I see.
Yeah.
Little pancakes and all that.
Yeah, I mean, breakfast is pretty much, like, there's no, like, I think when you think of breakfast, it's like American food.
I don't eat no crazy shit.
No, American food is... Or, like... Mac and cheese is there.
I think the two traditional breakfasts is, like, either American or Mexican. Because, like, you can have a good Mexican breakfast. Like,
Huevos Rancheros. When I'm out of breakfast, I'm really American.
American,
breakfast.
Yeah.
Like,
traditionally.
That's
yeah.
my thing.
Yeah, traditionally.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't really...
Maybe, like, a French breakfast.
Like, I hate when someone invite me to brunch, and it is, like, a Mexican-type place, and they don't have...
They give you
scrambled eggs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
or they give you the Mexican pancakes, at least in New York.
To me, breakfast, eggs, bacon. Well, you know, for me, veggie bacon or pancakes. Yeah. Traditional American food.
What about
cheese?
You put cheese in your omelette?
Not with my cereal, but yeah.
In the omelette.
Yeah, sauce. I'll get my salamios.
So gross.
All right, guys. Well, that concludes our podcast today. Thank you, Shalimar. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
We're going to have to go outside because Chris has been farting this whole time. So.
Bye.
All right. Good night, everyone.